Hey, what's going on? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And I want to let you guys know about our new website that we just got put together to help you be even more successful in business, whether that be starting your practice, growing your practice, scaling, digital products, whatever it is that you want to get involved in, but ways that you can start to impact more people. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com, that's B-I-Z.com, short for business, and get your hands on everything that we have there, all the free resources, all the cool information, you can get it there. So guys, we appreciate you. We appreciate you helping us grow this podcast to where it is today, and we want to continue to help you going forward. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And it's a Thursday, so we got a short podcast coming at you today talking about retention of people and how to keep your schedule full. And this is something that I've seen firsthand in terms of, you know, building my schedule and then bringing on other practitioners. And at this point, helping, you know, three other PTs that we have on our staff build their schedule up. And when you decide to go into the fee-for-service, cash service, hybrid approach, even when you're working with somebody kind of one-on-one, but when they have more skin in the game and they're paying out of pocket primarily for your services, I found that it can be challenging to not have drop-offs at around the typically around the 2 to 3 visit mark. Now, some people, you only need to see 2 or 3 times. You know, if I see an acute calf strain or something like that, let me see that person twice and they're good to go. If I see a grade 1 ankle sprain or something, I may see them once. And, you know, it's something that we can do what we need to hands-on. We can give them their homework and, maybe we have them follow up one time or whatever, but they're not coming in to see me 10 times. And that's just not happening. And it's not ethically something that I need to tell them that they need to do. But in other scenarios, there are people that do need to come back and see you on a regular basis that have had chronic issues for decades, right? So when I get somebody that's had back pain for 20 years, you know, or they had a knee surgery 10 years ago that never was rehab, and they've lost all this muscle around their leg and they have pain and they have no range of motion, this is something where it's going to take a while. It's going to not be a quick fix, and being able to be transparent with that is incredibly important. But the drop-off still exists with these patients, even though they know, or hopefully they understand, that they really need to work on this, and that we know that we can help them, and that we really need to work on this with them. There still exists drop-off, and what I found is sometimes it's a money thing exclusively, right? But a lot of times it's not. It's maybe a money thing is what they tell you, but what they're really telling you is they're not 100% committed to you and to what you have set in terms of your diagnosis and your prognosis of what they need. And that comes down to a couple factors. Number one is trust in your opinion and your skill set, how you present yourself. But I find that the biggest thing is likability, honestly. Like, it's the more that that person likes you, the more that they enjoy their experience, the more likely it is that they will come back and they will want to work with you. And when you're all by yourself, there's literally no one else that you can blame besides yourself. Like, you're the only person. There's no one answering the phone that you can say, oh, they didn't answer the phone correctly, or you have a tech, I guess, or something like that you can say did a poor job with teaching exercises. There's no one else to blame. It's literally just you. And the drop-off factor in many instances is a likability factor, and not just you, but the experience that they have. So I want you to think about this for a second. And there's a book that I was recommended very early on, whenever I got out of the military. It was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's Dale Carnegie. And this is an extremely popular book. Some of you may have heard of this, may have read this. This is a book that I recommend. I mean, anybody should read this. It's just like how to not be a jackass. I think that should be the title of the book. Or how to give a fuck about other people is what it primarily is teaching you. And what I found so fascinating about reading this book was the fact that it's simple stuff. This was written in, I think, like the 30s. And it's stuff that really does work well. And it's all about taking the time to learn about other people. And this is the mistake that I see often, especially with younger practitioners. They're quick to talk about themselves, experiences that they've had, things that they've done, and in some cases, in a slightly arrogant way. Like, no one wants to hear that you're good at something. I mean, you might be amazing at something, but you never want to tell somebody, like, oh, I'm really good at cornhole. Like, if you say, man, I'm really good at cornhole, what do you say back to that? Like, what kind of response is your patient going to have back to the fact that you're telling them that you're an awesome cornhole player? I mean, unless they just, I don't even know why you would say that. You know, like, there's no reason for you to say something to that effect or to, in some sort of, like, sense, kind of brag on the skill set that you have. You don't want to do that. No one cares about that. What they care about is themselves. And the more that you can ask them questions about themselves, about things that they're interested in, and then you can relate experiences that you've had to those similar interests, the more that person is going to enjoy being around you. And this comes down to asking questions that have to do with that person's life. So this book is a perfect example of talking about how to do this. And these concepts from, you know, like I said, I think it was written in the 30s. They still apply today, you know, even in this age of technology. And I think it is a little bit more challenging for younger practitioners because they have had more time being social digitally versus being social, you know, in person, and having to understand how to read people's body language and know when to ask them certain things and when not to ask them certain things, how to frame those things. And I'll give you a perfect example of when I was actually reading this book as I was I was getting out of the military. So I was going through out processing, which is basically where you go and you have to get all these people to sign off on this sheet that you have at, like, the library, and immunizations, and make sure you don't owe any money anywhere. You don't have any gear that you still have that you owe back. So you have to go to all these different places where everybody else is just waiting to get something signed, and it is an incredibly boring process. So usually you bring a book with you, and or you listen to an audiobook or something like that, and you just wait and you pass the time, because it's going to take a long time. It could take, you know, a week or two. So I had to go to get my medical records checked off at a place I'd never been, in Fort Benning, Georgia. So this is the last duty station that I was at. And I walk in, and there's just a huge crowd of people in there, all sitting down waiting to get this signature box filled out at this medical center. And I'd only been there for about 10 months, so I'd never actually even been there. Most of these people were basic training, and they had come through there, so they had to actually pick up their medical records. So I walk up to the front and I sign in, and part of this book is that it talks about, like, asking people about their life in a 100% meaningful way, like actually caring, you know, about other people. So as I sign in, I see that this lady has a Spurs flag that's hanging behind her, San Antonio Spurs, and she's got a couple pictures of her and her family at Spurs games, and Spurs shit everywhere. And I live in San Antonio, and I've been to a Spurs game, and I that is a rabid fan base. Like, San Antonio's the only sports team in San Antonio. They love the Spurs. The Spurs are historically a really, you know, good franchise. They win consistently. And she wasn't paying any attention to me at all. And I asked her, I was like, oh, are you a big Spurs fan? You got a lot of Spurs stuff here. And she looked up and she was, like, very, I think, caught off guard that I even asked her a question. And this is a government job. Like, most people don't say anything to anybody. unless they're angry about something and they're complaining. And she sort of was caught off guard, and she said, "Oh yeah, you know, this, we used to live in San Antonio. I grew up in San Antonio, and yeah, I'm a big Spurs fan." And so I started talking to her about the stadium there and going to, you know, going to a game and just how fun it is. And I was there the year that one of the years that they won the championship, and we started talking about that year. And she just, like, her whole body language changed, her personality just, like, came out. And she started talking to me about this, and then I started talking to her about her family and her kids at the games and how old they were now and what they were doing. And we probably chatted there for a couple minutes, just about the Spurs and about her family. And you know, when we were done, I said, "All right, well, you know, have a good day." And I went to go sit down, and she said, hang on, Captain Mate, what are you here for?" And I said, "I'm out processing." I said, "I got here about 10 months ago. I'm getting out of the military." And I was like, "I just need to get this signed because I've never been here. So I don't even have any medical records that need to be assessed." And she said, "Oh, well, let me see that for a second." So she takes the sheet, she stamps it and signs it. And she's like, "You're good to go. You can go ahead and leave." And that simple couple minutes of me talking to her about the Spurs and about her family in just a completely, you know, natural way, not trying to get anything back in return from her, probably saved me a good solid hour of sitting there with to get a stamp and a signature. And that's all I needed. And my point with the story is, when you ask people about their life and you actually listen to them, and this is really key, you have to listen to them and you have to be engaged in what they have to say, they will like you a lot more and they will want to help you out. They will want to continue the relationship with you. I work with a lot of business owners at this point, and it's funny, part of it is because they value their time, but also part of it is because I enjoy asking them questions about their business. And it's almost like, in a way, for them, I think they enjoy being able to ramble off these things that are going on in their business and sort of get some clarity by, you know, verbalizing that. And it's the same concept of me actively listening to people, them knowing that. And you can tell when somebody's listening to you and when somebody's just going through the motions. Guys, it's so apparent. It's so obvious. If you're just asking the questions that you have on your subjective because you have to fill in all these boxes that your EMR has, and you're not even paying attention to the patient, like, they're not getting a great experience with you. And if you sit down and you make eye contact with them and you ask them, you know, about their day, about their family, about their weekend, you know, about what they did that summer, and you honestly care and listen to them, people will like working with you significantly more. And I think some people are inherently just naturally good at this, and other people struggle a little bit with this, and they need to work on it. But this is a skill. You can work on this. It's like anything else, you can become better at it. And the first step I would tell you, if you feel like you want to try to get better at making connections with people and get better at being an active listener and you know, improving that patient connection, is to read that book. Read How to Win Friends and Influence People. It sounds like, I thought when somebody gave it to me, I was like, "This is sleazy, dude. Like, I don't need more friends. I mean, this is a book about how to make friends, you know?" And it's not. It's a book about communicating with other people and actually caring about them, and how when that truly happens, and you can't fake it, when that truly happens, how much more of a connection you can make with the people around you, and how much in the long term that will positively affect your business, because you will have stronger relationships with people that will then want to work with you more, send their family because they now trust you, and their friends to work with you, and your business will grow, all because you're actively caring and trying to become a positive element in someone else's life. Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm overwhelmed with how many positive
reviews we've had on iTunes so far, and we have over 100 reviews currently, and just in the last 9 months of starting this practice. The other area I'm really proud of is our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. If you want to get involved in the conversation and not just listen to me talk to you and our guests about what's working in our businesses currently, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. It's really simple. We'd love to have you in the community, and there's so much you can learn from everybody that's in there. I can't wait to see you there. Thanks so much for listening.